now with the latest from the world of technology. This is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenwick.
I quite like the number of apps that are already available.
Tech Guide.
The iPad 2 still beats just about everything on the market. The new iPad has just kicked away even further.
Tech Guide.
I quite enjoyed using it. Great design. The operating system worked hand in hand with the hardware as well.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is the Tech Guide Podcast.
This is obviously a hot selling device.
Tech Guide.
You know, we want them to be light. We want them to be portable. And this one's very fast with i7 and i5 processors.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenwick.
Welcome to episode 35 of the Tech Guide Podcast. It's great to have your company. Thanks for listening and thanks for downloading. My name is Stephen Fenwick. I'm the editor of techguide.com.au. And again, lots to talk about this week, starting with the latest announcements from the Mobile World Congress, which has just kicked off in Barcelona. Part of that news will include Sony's new Xperia Z tablet, plus a host of new smartphones. We'll also chat about Jabra's new range of headphones and the PlayStation 4 announcement, the controversial PlayStation 4 announcement. We'll also talk about an addictive puzzle app and Telstra's new customer rewards program. In our Tech Guide interview this week, we'll talk to entrepreneur Andrew Dowling about a new social media platform designed just for seniors. It's called Tapestry, and we'll hear from Andrew a little later. And we'll wrap it up with your tech questions on the Tech Guide Help Desk. And it's all brought to you by our proud sponsors, Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi products. Lots to talk about on Tech Guide, so let's get cracking. Well, as I mentioned at the in the intro, Mobile World Congress is the Super Bowl of mobile phone shows, smartphone shows, I should say. It's just kicked off literally hours, just a few hours ago in Barcelona. And one of the most interesting announcements to come from that conference in Barcelona comes from Sony, and it's all to do with their new Xperia Z tablet. Now, we all can remember from the Consumer Electronics Show last month where Sony unveiled the Xperia Z smartphone. Well, they've taken it to the next step now, releasing a tablet. And it does borrow heavily from the same design as the Xperia Z smartphone. It's a very thin design. In fact, it's the world's thinnest 10-inch tablet. It's only 6.9 millimeters thick. It's actually thinner than the Xperia Z smartphone. How do I know that? We had a hands-on session with the device. It's up now on Tech Guide, including a short video. And it is a, I have to say, an eye-catching device. It's 6.9, so it's very thin and light in your hands. It's got a dazzling high-definition screen, 1920 by 1200 resolution screen. That's more pixels on that screen than on your HD TV in your lounge room. But one other little feature of this product that's going to appeal to many customers, and this also applies to the Xperia Z smartphone, these devices are waterproof. And to prove that, Sony actually got a bowl of water and actually dunked the entire Xperia Z, completely submerged in the bowl, while it was playing a movie. And this is all seen, you can see that on my video on Tech Guide. So this is, I think, is going to be welcome news for those people, a lot of those users who have accidentally dipped their phone in water, maybe jumped in a pool, not realizing their smartphone was in their pocket, spilled a drink on it. And I get a lot of these phone calls from friends and readers saying, what do I do now? I've just wet my phone, and 9 times out of 10, my answer is, well, it's time to buy a new smartphone. But in this case here with the Xperia Z, the smartphone and the tablet, that is no longer the problem. You can put this underwater and it will still be okay. So huge feature, that one. But this is a tablet that is, I think, going by the design, first of all, very thin, very light. I think that Sony are making a statement here, and their Xperia Z was one of the more popular devices at the Consumer Electronics Show. And I have to say, these two products are really going to give Sony a nice start to 2013. I think the company sort of found their mojo again. These two products, I think, are going to help them claw back a little bit of ground they've lost in the past year or so. So keep an eye out for the Xperia Z tablet. It's not out till the second quarter of 2013. The Xperia Z smartphone, however, is going to be out in a matter of weeks. It'll be, I think, early to mid-March. And keep an eye out for a review on techguide.com.au. We're actually reviewing that device right now. And so far, we love what we see. But yeah, Xperia Z tablet. I think there's going to be a lot of tablets we're going to be hearing about in the next few days, especially from Mobile World Congress. Of course, there's new iPads always on the horizon. But I think Sony have, I think they've hit the sweet spot here with this device. Hopefully, it'll be priced fairly reasonably. It's running Android 4.1. We await that price once it is released in the second quarter. But I've got a full report and a video, a hands-on video, at my story at techguide.com.au.
This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenech.
Well, let's continue with Mobile World Congress and some of the announcements that we've already seen from the trade show. And one of those came from Huawei, which is a very aggressive mobile manufacturer. At CES, they actually released a device, the Ascend Mate, that actually had the world's biggest screen. It had a 6.1-inch screen. Well, Huawei have come up with another world's fastest smartphone now. So this is the Ascend P2, just 8.4 millimeters thick. It's got a 4.7-inch screen, 1.5 gigahertz quad-core processor, and also a 13-megapixel camera. But what makes it the world's fastest smartphone is the new Cat 4 radio inside, which is capable of achieving download speeds of up to 150 megabits per second. Now, they say that they're going to release this device in Australia. There's no guarantee it's going to work that fast on our networks here. Hopefully, it will work that fast on our networks here. There are some European networks where, I think one in particular in France, which says it will work on their particular network at that speed. So hopefully, we may get speeds even close to that speed will be good enough for us here in Australia. Another Android device running 4.1. You can expect to see the Huawei Ascend P2 in the second quarter of 2013. So it'll be a very busy quarter, the second quarter of 2013, with the Xperia Z tablet that we just spoke about. And just on that tablet too, I should mention the fact that it too is a quad-core processor. It's got a Qualcomm quad-core processor. And it's also got an 8-megapixel camera, and it's also got a front-facing 2-megapixel camera, high-definition camera also. So it's some pretty powerful devices heading our way this year. Another company to announce at Mobile World Congress, and that is our friends at Nokia. Nokia have always been a big participant of Mobile World Congress. I've attended a few of these shows over the years, and Nokia, being held in Europe, of course, it's right in their backyard, have always had a presence at this event, and this year is no exception. They've announced two new smartphones, the Lumia 720 and the Lumia 520. Now, these devices, of course, are running Windows Phone 8, and really bring that brand to a even higher level now with even larger portfolio with the addition of these two devices. Now, what they offer are slimmer profiles, also bright colors. So pretty much what we've got from the previous models. But one thing we've noticed here too is Nokia have renamed some of their features. Now, we all saw Nokia Drive, and Nokia, the camera, all the features that were on board the Nokia device before, Nokia Maps, Nokia the City Lens, have all been rebranded under the name HERE, H-E-R-E. So HERE Maps, HERE Drive, HERE Drive Plus, HERE Transit, HERE City Lens take the place of those other applications, Nokia Drive. They'll basically do the same thing. They're just going to be called rebranded. They're going to be called a different name. And those devices won't be here till the second half of 2013. Surprise, surprise. But again, March is going to be already a big month for smartphones. And it already, from these announcements alone, it's obvious that the second quarter of 2013, that's the start of the second half of the year, the last bit of the first half of this year is also going to be pretty busy. In March, we're going to see the Xperia Z, the HTC One, the LG Optimus G, the Galaxy S4 may be with us within weeks. possibly maybe a month or so. So it's really going to be smartphone season from here till the middle of the year. Now, a lot of these companies are thinking, well, we're going to get our devices into the market before there's any sign of a new iPhone. Now, Apple have got their work cut out for them this year. The iPhone 5 has been a big success, but these other companies are really bringing them back to the field. So the iPhone 5S or the iPhone 6 or whatever it's going to be called will really need to be something special to hold these very, very impressive devices at bay. I had a look at the HTC One last week as well. I got that in my hand, and it is a very impressive device with a few smart new features that doesn't make it just a faster, shinier smartphone. These features actually make it more useful and add these useful features that can differentiate it from its opponents. But if you want to catch a full wrap-up of those reports on the new Huawei, the new Nokia devices, as well as the Xperia Z tablet, you can do so at techguide.com.au.
You're listening to Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Let's turn our attention to audio, and Jabra has come up with a new headphone range that is also taking things to the next level. For this company, they've been around with a few audio products, but their latest range, which was shown very briefly to me at a meeting last week, and there's two new headphones and one in-ear headphones, and they're, let's go through them. Let's start with the Jabra Revo. Now, these are corded headphones that are built with an aluminium frame, steel hinges, shatterproof headband. So these can take a lot of punishment. In the demo, the headband was twisted in the same way you'd be wringing out a wet tea towel, and nothing happened. Nothing broke. This is very impressive. So if you're using your headphones every day, there's no need to treat these with kid gloves. They can withstand anything. Now, these are built to take whatever you dish out. They've also got memory foam on the ear cups as well as the headband, so you're going to get a comfortable fit no matter what. There's also a mic and an inline remote, so you can easily answer your calls, navigate your music, and do things like that. And also the audio quality, of course, you'd expect something special because these also feature Dolby Digital Plus enhancement on board. Now, what they do, they pair with an app on your smartphone, so you can actually fire up the app on your device and you can play your music, whether it's your onboard songs on your device's memory, or stream your from an audio service, but it will enhance that audio output using Dolby Digital Plus. So a big tick there for Jabra. But the other model there is they've got a wireless model, so it looks exactly the same as the Revo minus the cable. It uses NFC to pair with compatible smartphones. Can also be done the traditional way using Bluetooth. And again, the controls are actually touch controls on the ear cups. You wind forward to turn the volume up, wind back to turn the volume down, double tap to move forward, double tap on the other side of that ear cup to move back. So very impressive features there. Rounding out the range is the Jabra Vox, which are the in-ear headphones. And these two have an inline remote control and a microphone, so you can use these with your smartphone. Now, what impressed us about these ones in the short demo that we were given was the fact that they're quite small. They're based on monitor headphones. They're not the same people, the same type of headphones that you see singers wearing at concerts. They're monitor headphones. So they're in-ear monitors, they call them. So they can sit comfortably in your ear, not too bulky. And they've also designed to withstand a lot of punishment. They've got tangle-free cables that can withstand up to 15 kilograms of pull force. So you can actually pull these as hard as you can between your hands and they won't break. And even the most susceptible part of in-ear headphones is the Y, where the cable separates to the left and right earphones. That little Y junction has also been reinforced. Another clever feature to avoid tangles on these headphones is a small magnet. Now, the tangles occur where the cord separates, where the left and right cups in-ear headphones separate for left and right. Now, what it is featured now, there's a small magnet that can hold them together so that you can actually wind them up. It's also almost like having one cord to wind up. excellent range to keep an eye out for. Stay tuned for a full review in Tech Guide in the coming weeks. They're going to be released late March. Pricing has yet to be announced, but I'm pretty sure they're going to be pretty aggressive, and the design and audio output of these products are going to be very impressive as well. Very handy. If you love your music, the Jabra range is well worth checking out. Tech Guide is brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one Wi-Fi brand. Do you ever want to experience the fastest Wi-Fi ever in your home? Of course you do. Well, now you can with Netgear. You can supercharge your home wireless network with the Netgear D6300 Wi-Fi modem router, which delivers next generation gigabit Wi-Fi up to 3 times faster than existing Wi-Fi products. They're NBN ready and great for streaming HD video. Netgear's family of 802.11ac products provide increased Wi-Fi coverage, which means you can now use your mobile gadgets in every corner of your home. It comes with a Netgear Genie app that makes installation easy and lets you view and play all of your digital photos, movies, and music on your smartphone, tablet, PC, or smart TV. To find out more, head to netgear.com.au/fastest Wi-Fi.
Now, a Tech Guide news update.
Now, late last week, Sony, they announced this event weeks in advance, and we were tuned into this last Thursday morning. You will recall it was an event held in New York, and it was to introduce the PlayStation 4. And we got plenty of information. We got lots of new game demos, lots of trailers. We even got a look at a new remote control. But we didn't see the console. They introduced the PlayStation 4 and didn't show us what it looks like, which, I don't know, it's a little bizarre if you ask me. Now, we were waiting for hours. I was watching the live stream and I thought they're going to introduce the console, they're going to show it in a big reveal at the end. Well, guess what? They didn't. And it left a lot of people upset, and they hit Twitter and they made their opinions known that Sony did not show us the PS4 despite the weeks of teaser videos and a 2-hour event describing the new features and the new controller and the new games, but no console. Well, anyway, another bizarre revelation at this event was the fact that the PS4 will not natively play PS3 games, which to me sounds a little strange, because I'm sure there's going to be a lot of PS4 users, some customers who want to be lining up on day one to buy this new console, are going to have a whole library full of PS3 games. Well, my advice to those people is don't throw out the PS3. You're going to use it, need it to play your old games. Sony is saying that down the track they may make these devices backwards compatible with a software update. We don't know. That was one of those areas that Sony really couldn't give us a definite answer. But in terms of raw specs, under the hood there's going to be a not one, not two, not three or four, an 8-core processor with 8 gig of RAM. So it takes the power of the PlayStation up to an entirely new level. Good news is, though, it will still have the Blu-ray disc. It'll have a disc player so you can play all your movies and on DVD and Blu-ray disc. Pity you can't say the same thing for your PS3 games, but anyway, we'll worry about that when we get it in our hands. But the controller also looks a bit new, looks a little bit more rounded. There's a touchpad now on the device. There's also a headphone jack, and it also has a small light bar, which is used by the camera on the console for 3D gaming. So a new feature there. Another interesting feature is the fact that you can also be able to stream games to players thanks to a new partnership with a company called Gaikai, which is a specialist in cloud streaming technology. So that's an interesting one. Video sharing, you'll also be able to share your videos to places like Facebook and Ustream so that you can get your gameplay videos to a wider audience rather than just in the PlayStation Network and the PlayStation community. I think another smart new feature is the fact that you can use your PS Vita, the PlayStation portable device, as a second screen, so you can have remote play. You might be able to play your games from the console remotely. They've also announced an app so that a PlayStation app for iPhone and iPad, as well as Android devices, so you can turn those tablets or smartphones into a second screen for the PlayStation 4. So you'll have your television, and you may have a secondary screen with your iPad, might be the map or some other information that you can utilize while you're playing the game. We're going to see some pretty killer titles too. Killzone, Shadowfall was one trailer that was played there. Another driving game called Drive Club, which kind of rewards drivers for playing with others. And of course, Infamous, another exclusive PlayStation title, will also be there for launch for PS4 with a game called Infamous Second Son. So it's no brainer that, of course, Sony were going to support the PS4 with a lot of their exclusive titles, like the ones we just mentioned, Killzone, Infamous. Expect an Uncharted game maybe in the not-too-distant future as well. Sony announced that it will be releasing the PS4 holidays 2013. Hopefully we'll get that here in Australia before Christmas, when the PlayStation 3 was announced back in 2006. The US and Japan, from memory, got the console in November, but we had to wait until March 28, 2007 before we got our hands on the new console. Hopefully we'll get it right away with everyone else, but only time will tell. Not a lot of detail on the ground there. We don't even know what this thing looks like, so stay tuned. I think they're going to do a big reveal at the Electronic Entertainment Expo, E3, in the middle of the year. But stay tuned. If there's any news to be had, we'll have it right here on Tech Guide.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Telstra have kicked off a loyalty program. They're going to reward their customers for being their customers. This new loyalty program has just kicked off just this week. It's called Thanks. That's an appropriate name for this type of rewards program. What they're going to do, they're going to offer things like $10 movie tickets and, you know, ways to win free movie tickets, free concert tickets, things like that. So it will, if you are a Telstra customer, you can find out more information through the link that I've posted on Tech Guide. But also, interesting part of this program is going to be the fact of that you'll be able to also win money can't buy experiences, things like meeting your favorite sporting stars, attending red carpet premieres, private screenings of films. But there's one particular reward that I found rather interesting, and it is a walk-on role in an upcoming Australian film. The film's called Son of a Gun, and it's going to be starring Ewan McGregor. And the lucky Telstra customer, as part of this rewards program, is going to have a walk-on role. So this could kick off your Hollywood acting career just by being a Telstra customer. You can read all about that report at techguide.com.au. All right, you can own up now. Hands up those who have discovered that addictive puzzle app, 4 Picks, One Word. You know what I'm talking about. You've probably seen them in your Facebook feed if you're not playing the game yourself. 4 pictures used to describe a single word. So all 4 pictures, one, the same word can describe all 4 pictures. That is the whole point of the game. There are now, I think there's been 2 releases. The original game had an update, I think, to take it to 319 levels. If you're reading this, if you're hearing this, I should say, and you're not quite up to those levels, I have put a link on my Tech Guide story to a cheat site that if you do get stuck on a word, and there are a selection of letters at the bottom of the screen to give you a bit of a clue to sort of work out the anagram. There's also spaces allotted for, if it's a 4-letter word, there's going to be 4 spaces, of course. So there is also an opportunity to buy clues. If every time you answer a word correctly, you get coins, and the more coins you build up, the more currency you have to buy clues. And clues include reducing the number of letters at the bottom of the screen, or revealing letters in the actual word. Or you can just go to the website that I've linked to, and you can also get it that way without costing yourself a coin. You can also buy those coins in the app, starting at 99 cents for 350 coins, all the way up to $20.99 for 10,000 coins. But do what everyone else is doing. They're sharing these pictures on their Facebook page. There is a little Facebook button, bottom right-hand corner of the screen, that lets you share the the word that you happen to be stuck on, so you can crowdsource an answer through your Facebook friends. And I've answered a few of these because I've completed both stages, all 319 words. If you haven't downloaded already, you should get onto it now. You're going to love it. Four picks, one word, available for iPhone and also for Android. If you can read all about it at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. Now, a Tech Guide interview.
This week's Tech Guide interview is with a gentleman named Andrew Dowling. He's an entrepreneur who's come up with a really good idea for a new social media platform that's designed just for seniors. It's called Tapestry. Now, how it works is a family member would set up an account for, say, grandma, and what they would do, they'd enter all their own Facebook accounts, Instagram, Twitter, into the back end of this application. So they'd get their children, their sisters, brothers, whoever they want grandma to keep in touch with, or grandpa, or an elderly relative that you want to see, that want to keep in touch looking at your social networking updates. Now, once all that setup's done, then the users will give their relative, grandma, for example, an Android tablet. And on that tablet is the Tapestry app, which actually takes over the Android system. So your home screen is now the Tapestry home screen. There is a way to get out of that and look at the other apps, but what Tapestry has done is created a really simple interface with this feed, with all this information just streaming into Tapestry. So a new photo, they'll say there's new photos, whether they've come in from a relative's Facebook account, email, Instagram, they're just going to appear for grandma to view whenever she wants. There's also a very simple email client. There's also a weather widget, as well as being able to access the internet. But a really clever idea, I think, for a lot of older users who may be a little intimidated. It is a lot of work to follow your relatives. Like people are saying, well, Facebook's great for keeping in touch with people. But if you're a grandmother, not very familiar with technology, you got a lot of relatives on Facebook and on Twitter and on Instagram, it actually is an effort to keep track of all those different sites so that that person then has to join those other sites, and then it becomes rather tedious. But this this app called Tapestry makes it really easy for grandma to keep in touch with all their relatives. And as he pointed out to me, look, it wasn't just a way of making it easy for people to stay in touch. He did a lot of research, and one of the motivations that he said was that there's a lot of depression in seniors. Depression in seniors, I was very surprised to hear that 1 in 10 seniors say they feel lonely most of the time. I was also amazed to hear too, well, not amazed, but really saddened to hear that the highest suicide rate in the world is actually men over 80. So that's the effect of all that loneliness out there. Well, he thought, well, what a great way for these older relatives to still stay in touch, still stay engaged, and become still a part of the lives of their younger relatives, children, grandchildren. That was the result and what they decided to do with Tapestry. But I caught up with Andrew Dowling and his office to ask him to give us a bit more information about what Tapestry is all about. And here's what he had to say. Andrew, thank you for joining us. We're here to talk about your new product, your new software product, Tapestry. Now, just give us an explanation. What is Tapestry and who is it going to benefit from it?
Hey, Stephen, thanks for having me. Yeah, sure. Tapestry is a product designed to make technology simple for seniors in particular and help their family members communicate, connect with, and share with them. So it's a very simple tablet app, runs on Android tablets. And it rolls in a range of technologies, including the ability to share and see and view photos, simplified email, simplified browser, and weather.
So it's all about launcher. The social media has become everywhere now. So it's all about keeping grandma, grandpa, seniors in the picture, literally, with social media. So rather than them missing out, they can use Tapestry to see what their grandkids and grandkids are up to.
I like that. In the picture, I'm going to use that. Very good. Absolutely. So the real key to it is that the person using the tablet doesn't need to be on Facebook, for example, mm-hmm. but photos that are shared by their younger family members on Facebook will then appear automatically on the tablet, and they don't have any of those worries about security or privacy mm-hmm. or anything like that. The family members can email them through and they'll appear on the tablet. They can upload them via the Tapestry website. So we're trying to pull together all of that confusing, constantly changing social media landscape and making it easier for someone who might be worried about privacy, they might be worried about complexity, and just make it easier for them to stay connected with their families.
And I understand too, so that the whole setup of Tapestry is for the kids, the grandkids, to actually assist in the setup. That's to make right. it as easy as possible then for grandma, grandpa, whoever they want to set it up for. So the goal would for you would be to take all that confusion and all that work out for the senior people who are using it. Is that correct?
That's right. That's right. So typically, a younger family member will come to our website, sign up, and create an account for themselves, but also then create an account for grandma. Typically, they'll be the ones who'll get the tablet and install the app and then give it to grandma. But we've got 87-year-old users using it, and they've been going for months without any form of technical assistance. The system is designed to work really, really simply and easily without any help required.
And I from the demo you've just given me, I understand the Android version, there's a bit more control you have over the app. So that actually takes over the tablet for the senior, so that they get on their homepage becomes Tapestry with access to their photos, emails. So how hard was that to do?
Everything in software sometimes seems to be harder than it should be. But we've found it's harder to create a simple product than it is to create a complex product. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the work goes into how can you create something that has something of value to people without making it really confusing. Mm-hmm. So the good thing about what we're doing with Tapestry is the tablet experience doesn't need to have all of those confusing settings. There's a lot of things that are on a tablet device these days that really for our target market they don't need. So we've taken that away. Okay. And so when you hit the home button on an Android on a Tapestry tablet, you get the Tapestry simple screen, very very large, easy to choose options. Yeah. And then the data comes to you. You don't need to do anything for photos to show up and let you know about them.
Okay. And you've included photos, you've got email, internet, and you've included the weather.
The weather.
Well, that's one thing that we all talk about, isn't it? The weather. And a good conversation starter for grandma and the grandkids, maybe.
That's true. In fact, we've got a 75-year-old user just emailed me last week to tell me she's addicted to the weather app. So she says, look, I check it multiple times a day. And it's designed to let them be able to again, easily check the weather, not just where they're living, but where the family members are living as well.
Now, you've done a lot of research, obviously, in before you've created the app, and you've even studied sort of senior behaviour, and you did mention our early conversation, you mentioned about depression in seniors, and one of the reasons behind that is loneliness. Now, I think that's quite a good reason to create a product like this. Explain a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so one of my big passions is around a field of enterprise called social enterprise, which are businesses obviously aiming to be profitable and successful, but designed to create a social good. And when we learned about some of the figures around loneliness in seniors, and 1 in 10 seniors say they're often or even always lonely, and some other stats around that, combined with the fact that it's not commonly known, but seniors who do nothing more than use the internet to connect to the outside world show a 20% reduction in depression. Mm-hmm. We thought to ourselves, well, gee, if that's all what you get from just using the internet, what could we do if we really put our minds to it? Mm-hmm. And so the idea with Tapestry, again, is to, for the people who are missing out, technology today can do it does amazing things, bring mm-hmm. people together, but there are some people who are missing out. So all we're trying to do is to bring them into the experience and actually keep them connected with their families once again.
Okay. Now, taking that even further, there could be even possible health benefits and other benefits for using Tapestry. Like if you might know grandma, you may have noticed she hasn't looked at a photo for a couple of days, or so that there is a way another way for kids to keep in touch and to keep an eye on how their grandparents are going.
Yeah. So we're starting to use the term social care, mm-hmm. and social aged care, and it really is a way of doing what if grandma had lived in the same house, you'd be able to see every day if she was looking good or if she was looking happy, keeping tabs on her. And that's kind of broken down where people are living. In my grandmother, for example, I live in the same city, but I don't get to see her very much. But most of her family are in different countries, mm-hmm. different cities around the world. And by having her on a tablet like Tapestry, we can see that she's engaging with the photos that are coming in. It also triggers her to then pick up the phone sometimes, and it gives her a reason to say, yeah, I saw the birthday party. What's going on? And that's been a really delightful part of the process.
Okay. And you're going to roll this out possibly into retirement villages here and possibly overseas?
Absolutely. So we've already got users in retirement villages here in Australia, and looking to do more. We've also got a community of nuns which are using Tapestry, but we've got our sights on international market. A lot of our queries come from overseas, both English speaking and non-English speaking. So we think there's a real need for what Tapestry is going to be and the market is going to serve. So we think there's a bright future ahead.
Absolutely. Well, really appreciate your time, Andrew. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Stephen. It's been great to have you.
Now, answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
I get asked a lot when people go travelling. They want to know whether the devices they're going to buy are firstly going to work here in Australia. Of course they're going to work here in Australia. Things like MacBooks, iPads, cameras, you name it. Whatever you buy overseas, it will work here. The downside is you won't have the Australian plug, but that's very easy to remedy. You can buy one here. Another question I get asked is, will the warranty also apply in Australia? Well, that really depends on the product you buy and from which company you buy that product. For example, Apple products. If you were to buy an Apple product in the US, the warranty would still carry over here in Australia. If you did have a problem with the device, you could take it to an Apple store and they would look at it and it will be covered internationally. Now, not every company does this. I know Nikon does, but I've been reading in the Canon's standard warranty terms and conditions, and their warranties are only territory to territory. It says, and I'm reading this, warranty is valid only for products that are purchased, new and unused, in Australia and New Zealand, sourced from Canon Australia or Canon New Zealand. So I was asked, if I were to buy a Canon camera in Hong Kong, would it work here? Of course it would work here, but would the warranty apply? Reading that, I don't think it would. My advice is the moral of this Tech Guide Help Desk topic today is to read the fine print. There are a number of companies, electronics companies, smartphone manufacturers, all these other companies that make technology. Read the fine print. Google it if you have to, whether the warranty of that device you're buying, ask them in the store whether that warranty will apply in Australia. If it does, well and good. You might have picked it up for a good price and you're covered here in Australia. But if you've bought it at a good price and brought it back to Australia and not covered by warranty, then if something goes wrong with that product, you're going to have to fork out money to fix it, replace it. So that money you've saved is all going to go down the drain. Point of this, read the warranty. Not all of them cover them internationally. Some of them do. A lot of them do. But best to check before you put your hard-earned money down. Well, that is our show for another week. You can read more about anything we spoke about on this episode at our website, techguide.com.au. And feel free to contact us. We love hearing from you. So you can get in touch by emailing us here at info@techguide.com.au. You can also send us your help desk questions to the either by email or to the Tech Guide forum, which you can find on our website. Thanks, too, for our sponsors, Netgear, the brand you can trust for all your Wi-Fi needs. That's full time for episode 35. Thanks so much for listening. We look forward to your company next week. So in the meantime, stay safe and stay connected.